my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your souls. So Jesus came to take some very complex things from religion of the first century and to simplify it. When Jesus was asked, for example, what are the greatest commandments, what did he say? Love God, love your neighbor. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's boiling it down to terms that I can get a hold of. If the Pharisees were the legalists of Jesus' day, another of the denominations of Judaism, the Essenes, were the escapists of their time. The Essenes are not found in Scripture, but we know about them from history. And they decided that their way to simplify their life was to get away from people who were not pure in their belief in God and to go establish a commune elsewhere. So they were the escapists. Let's get away from the society and we're going to go establish our own little commune and live that way. That was the way they sought simplicity in their lives. And some folks today try to escape their life by escaping society. And they build a cabin in the woods and live off the grid. And others like the Amish will escape technology of today by reverting to simpler times and methods. And there can be some value in that. But Jesus was not an escapist. Did you notice that? He spent time in Jerusalem. He spent time in the big city of Jerusalem. He spent lots of time with people, people he agreed with and many people he didn't agree with. So Jesus would tell us that finding the simple life does not require quitting your job, selling your car, turning off your electricity, or moving to a hermit's cabin in the woods. Jesus said the problem of complexity in our lives that burdens us is a problem of the heart. It's a problem of sin, and it's not a problem of the culture that we live in as much as that we on the inside need to be changed. Depriving ourselves of modern conveniences does not necessarily lead to a simpler life. Sometimes we just trade one complexity for another. You know, if you go out in the cabin in the woods and off the grid, no electricity, that may give you some peace in that environment, but you know what? You've got to figure out how to eat. You've got to figure out the food for the day. So there, if you trade one complexity for the other, what have you gained? Jesus says there's a better way to go about simplifying your life, and that is spiritually simplifying your life. Number one tonight, he said, simplify your life by being singly-hearted, devoted to the Lord. Jesus simplifies us not with a simplistic environment, but the singleness of heart. And Jesus tells us that it's that singleness of heart that brings us the simple life that we're seeking. It's when we're devoted to him in a singleness of heart, that's where it brings us the simplicity of life that we're looking for. So I'm not saying that simple life requires that you sell your car and get a horse and buggy. I'm not saying you have to go off the grid to have a simple life. But what you do need is a dedicated heart to Jesus Christ, where there's no question about your devotion to the Lord. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6, what Jesus said about simplifying your life, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field that's here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, some translations say Gentiles, run after these things, and your heavenly Father needs them, knows you need them. Here's his answer, verse 33, for that singleness of heart. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough to worry about. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This passage in Matthew 6 contrasts two value systems. One is focused on things, the other is focused on faith in the Lord to supply our needs. And when we're so focused on things and we start worrying about where everything's going to come from and how the bills are going to make and all these sort of things, what happens? Our life becomes more complex, doesn't it? Jesus came to rescue us from that complexity by saying, there's one thing that matters, you and the Lord, your relationship with the Lord. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you, is what Jesus taught, isn't it? Jesus said, seek first His kingdom. And mark that verse in your Bible. It's Matthew 6:33. That's the key to the simple life of the Christian. So the simple life of the Christian is found in singleness of heart, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's not having to jettison ourselves from modern conveniences or go find a rural place to be. It's not that those things are wrong to do. It just doesn't satisfy the heart issue of man. Seeking first the relationship with the Lord satisfies the heart issue of man. The singleness of heart is important. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Now notice Jesus didn't say no man should serve two masters. He said no man can serve two masters. There's a difference, isn't it? If you can't do something, that means you don't have the ability to do it. Should implies it's a moral choice. The Bible says, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You can't do it. Have you ever worked for a company where you had two bosses? You know, one telling you one thing and somebody else telling you something else, and you're like, who do I follow? Whose directions are good for me? You know, it's a sure way to stress and buying out stock in Tums if you're going to work under two bosses, isn't it? And that's what Jesus recognized. And He said, no man can serve two masters. He said there in the context, no one can serve God and money. That's what the context is. But the principle is not only about God and money. The principle is life in general. We need a singleness of heart, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. The Old Testament taught the same thing. The first commandment said, you shall have no other gods before me. A person's God is their object of ultimate concern. What matters more to them than anything else? Now, we can make gods out of many things. Sometimes we make gods out of our possessions. Sometimes we make gods out of our house or our boat or our cars or our clothes. Some make gods out of alcohol and drugs. Pleasures can become our gods. Pleasures themselves are not wrong, but they're wrong when they become our ultimate concern, right? So we can make good things our obsession. I remember a family I knew in another community many years ago. Just seemed like that's a wonderful family, you know. A couple young kids, seemed like they were doing well. Husband had a nice professional job. And they had one rule, family first. On the surface, that sounded really good. But there's a problem there. The rule really should have been God first. Eventually, that family broke apart. Divorce happened. Because they put family first instead of God first. Because they hadn't really put first things first. Now, family is very, very important. And on a list of priorities, we put it right up there, you know, near the top. And it should be. But Jesus said, seek first what? His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek the relationship with the Lord first, and then your family. That's the importance of the order. So simplicity begins with a single-hearted devotion to the Lord. No other gods before Him. Point number two tonight. That single-hearted devotion will then order our priorities. You see how this works? Because if our single-hearted devotion is to be in relationship with the Lord, that will order our priorities. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to do everything I'd like to do. I don't have money to buy everything I'd like to buy. And I don't have the energy to do everything I'd like to do because I'm in late middle age. And the energy level's beginning to go, doo. You know what I'm talking about, some of you, right? Yeah. Used to be work 12-hour days, no problem. It's a problem now. I'll assure you, that's the way life is. Life changes. Our single-hearted devotion to Jesus will order our priorities. So we have to decide what matters most. Do we spend a little time with Scripture, or are we just going to watch TV? Do we choose to give to the Lord's work, or are we going to take that expensive vacation? Do we choose to attend worship service? You came tonight, Sunday night. Thank God for that. Rather than going to the car show or whatever else you had on the docket. You choose to serve others rather than just sitting around enjoying the outdoors on the deck. It's not wrong to go to a car show. It's not wrong to sit on the deck. It's not wrong to go on vacation. It's not even wrong to watch television if you're choosing carefully what you watch. What's wrong is when we forget God is number one. And our single-hearted devotion to Jesus Christ will help us in ordering our priorities of life. You see, when we learn it's not all about me, it's all about thee, T-H-E-E-E, we make a difference. So we don't live our lives by the pleasure principle, but rather the principle of pleasing the Lord. That simplifies our life. Now, some of you have probably seen the illustration of the big rocks and the small rocks, trying to get them in the jar. Have you seen that? You know, somebody's given a pile of big rocks and the small rocks, and which one do you put in the jar first? You got to put in the big rocks first, and then you fit the little rocks in, or it doesn't work, does it? If you put the little rocks in the bottom of the jar and then try to put the big rocks on top of it, what happens? It overflows the jar. It doesn't fit. And our lives are a little bit that way too, aren't they? God wants us to put the big rocks in first, the big priorities first. But what are those big priorities? Number one is our relationship with God. What does the Lord have to say about things in our life? Number two is our family, our mate, and our children. Then comes work. And then comes everything else. You see, the big rocks need to go in the jar first. Our relationship with God, then our relationship with our mate, our relationship with our kids, our work, and everything else. And that's what Jesus is telling us in Matthew 6 when he says, don't fuss over the small rocks. Yeah, it's important to get a meal. It's important to have clothes to wear. But he says, don't worry about those things. Seek first what? His kingdom, and those things are going to work themselves out. Put your first things first. Our single-hearted devotion to Jesus Christ will order our priorities, and by ordering our priorities, it simplifies our lives. Number three tonight. Sin complicates life, and righteousness simplifies life. Think about that for a bit. Sin complicates life, and righteousness simplifies life. And Jesus is the purveyor of the simple. The Jesus way simplifies life. I'm going to give you some examples. The first is, you'll know this one because you taught it to your kids. You told them not to lie. And you may have used an example like this. Well, you see, if you lie and misrepresent the truth, then when you come along, someone else comes along and asks you about a particular event, you've got to remember what you told them. If you just tell them what the reality was, what the truth is, you don't have to remember two or three different stories and who you told what to. You just tell them the truth. It's simple, isn't it? You see how simplicity, doing righteousness, simplifies life? When you tell lies, you got to remember who you told what to. That gets complicated. That's why it's simpler to tell the truth, isn't it? And we teach our children things like that. And that's not bad. Sin complicates our life. Righteousness simplifies our lives. Mark it down. Sin always has consequences. Not sometimes. Not if I can't get away with it. It's sin always has consequences. The wages of sin is death. You know that scripture, don't you? You know that scripture. We would say sin is destructive. When God labels something as sin, it's because there is a price to pay. There is a destruction that comes with it. That may not be an immediate destruction. It may not be obvious immediately, but there is a price to pay for sin. Sin complicates our life. Righteousness simplifies our life. Think back to the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve sinned, There were consequences for their sins, severe consequences. Their relationship with God changed. They were shut out from the paradise of the garden. They had to start laboring for the food. Eve would experience pain in childbearing, and both Adam and Eve would face physical death. Those are consequences of sin. The forbidden fruit of sin is never free. There's always a price to pay. Satan doesn't give us a free lunch. Sin complicates our lives with consequences and guilt. Righteousness simplifies us, our lives. Let me give you some examples. Gossiping complicates your life. Truth-upbuilding speech simplifies life, doesn't it? We've already talked about lying, how it complicates lives. Truth-telling simplifies them. Sexual permissiveness complicates life. Sexual purity simplifies life. Hatred complicates our life. Love simplifies our life. Anger complicates our life. Forgiveness simplifies our life. Greed complicates our life. An attitude of thanksgiving and generosity simplifies our life. Drunkenness complicates our lives. Sobriety simplifies our lives. Stealing complicates our lives. Honesty simplifies our lives. Disobedience complicates our lives, and obedience simplifies our lives. You see what I'm talking about? So we notice very carefully as we've looked at this tonight that simplicity of the simple life begins with a single-hearted devotion to Jesus Christ. That's what matters most, is our relationship with the Lord. We've also noticed that that single-hearted devotion will help order our priorities for us. And finally, we notice that sin has the tendency to complicate things, whereas righteousness has a tendency to simplify things. So that's why I believe the Lord gives us a simpler life. I'm not saying it's necessarily easy to live as a Christian. I'm not saying that there are no complications in living as a Christian. I just think there's no simpler way to live than being a Christian. Amen? Not that life is perfect, not that I'm being Pollyanna about it, but just saying overall, living the Christian life simplifies life versus not living the Christian life. Again, Jesus came to ease burdens and not to increase religious duties. We've already looked at Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read it again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are there some prices to pay for being a Christian? Yes, there are. There's a yoke to bear, but you know, I'd rather be yoked with Jesus than yoked with Satan, wouldn't you? Yeah? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's saying, my lifestyle, the Christian lifestyle, is a simpler, easier lifestyle. And heaven's thrown into boot. But this simplicity comes not in doing what we want, but doing what the Lord wants. And that means we have to learn to trust him. This evening, are you ready to begin the journey? If you're not yet a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, put your faith in him, repent of your sins, be baptized into the Lord. Or maybe you need a public response for prayer tonight. We can help you in some way. We invite you to Christ. He's the purveyor of the simple life, the holy life, and the good life. Let's stand together and let's sing.